We thank you, God, for the work that you are doing. We pray, Lord, that you would minister to our hearts and to our souls. We thank you for last weekend, Lord, and the baptisms and how faithful you were. We thank you, Father God, for your mercies that are new every day. Lord, we need you. We need you more than ever. We pray, Father God, that you would teach us, reveal yourself to us, Lord. Only God can reveal God. So, Lord, we need you. We pray that your Holy Spirit would be our teacher, Lord, that we would not hear as the word of man, but the word of God. Lord, help us to receive all that you have. You have prepared the plate before us. We pray, Lord, that we would partake of all that you have. We pray that your word would go forth, Lord, and it would heal, that it would touch lives, that it would transform. Lord, it's work we cannot do. Only you can do it. And so our faith and our trust is in you. Lord, we won't fail to give you all the honor and the glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. We're in the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 13. If you can turn there in your Bibles. Chapter 13 is the parables. The parables began after the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit and the unforgivable sin. And the Lord from that time on said that he would teach in parables. And it was so that those that he desired and that came to him and seeked him and asked him for the explanation, he would explain it to them. And for those that didn't care and weren't interested, they weren't going to receive it. It was a fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy that said they have ears, but they can't hear. They have eyes, but they can't see. Unfortunately, that's a majority and not the minority. The minority are those that have put their faith in Jesus Christ, that are seeking him. Each of the parables, it talks of the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is like. The kingdom of heaven is like. I titled this morning's message, The Value of His Kingdom. The value of his kingdom. Jesus describes the value in terms of treasures and pearls and how the opposition to the kingdom, where they will end up. You learn as you go in the Christian life, it's not your ability to imitate him, but it's his ability to reproduce himself in you. Again, Christianity isn't what you do for him. It's what he's done for you. The first changes that take place in our lives is within us. It's deep within us. It's interesting when you look at these parables. The commentaries, they're everywhere. You know, like some say it's Israel, some say it's the church, some say it's Christ. So I can choose any one of them and somebody's going to agree with me. But that's not what I'm here for. I seek the Lord and I ask God to show me. And the Lord showed me. And what he showed me is when you look at the hidden treasure in the costly pearl, I believe it's both. And I'll tell you why. Because it's Christ in you. It's Christ in you. I like Colossians 1:27. To whom God willed to make known what is the riches of his glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. When we look at the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven, it's Christ ruling, and the millennial kingdom will be Christ ruling on earth. The spiritual kingdom, which we're living in now, the kingdom of heaven, it's Christ ruling in our hearts. The only way that happens is if you're born again. Christ isn't ruling in unbelievers' hearts. He's only ruling in believers' hearts. And so when I looked at the hidden treasure, do I see the treasure as Christ? Absolutely. And I'll show you the scriptures that show that. But is the treasure us to Jesus as well? It absolutely is. There is an exchange. You know, someone called it long ago, they called it the exchange life. It's his life for mine in this. Because you can't live the Christian life, no matter how hard you try. I'd love to say, let me show of hands, you know. How many of you have tried and tried and tried to live this Christian life and you kept failing and failing and failing till you get to the place where you're just going to trust the Lord for it and you're going to learn to enjoy his presence in your life and realize that if he's not doing it, it's not getting done because it is he who works in you both to will and to do for whose good pleasure? For his good pleasure. For his good. So what's it all about? Hey, what's it all about? It's about Jesus. My brother Steve's here, man. What a blessing. It's always about Christ. It's never about us. But we get to see that. We get to walk in that. We get to be a part of his kingdom. It's his kingdom. It's not our kingdom. Listen, there's two kingdoms. Eddie was sharing it with his Bible study. There's the kingdom of heaven and there's the kingdom of earth. Too many Christians are living in the kingdom of earth. They're living on the level of earth. And we look at things and we want to hold on to things. And if we haven't let go of it yet, if we haven't began to trust the Lord and said, my life is no longer mine, but it's his, and allow God to live that life through you, listen, you're never going to experience his presence in the way you can. You won't. You won't. In John 14:20, this was what God showed me. It says, in that day you will know that I am in my Father. But this is the key. And then it says, and you in me and I in you. So when the Lord is talking about the kingdom of heaven, and he says, the kingdom of heaven is like. The kingdom of heaven is like. The kingdom of heaven is like a little bit of leaven that's put into the measure, and then it's worked in, and then I saw the leaven as a good thing. It was the work of God. It was the Spirit of God. And what happens? Eventually, it overcomes the whole loaf, and when that thing rises, it doesn't rise without the leaven. We don't grow without the leaven. And the leaven becomes a pitcher. But yet the tree became the Christianity. It became the church. It started so small. 12 men turned the world upside down. And they just began to grow. And you couldn't stop the process. Just like once leaven is inside the dough, you can't take it out. Because once we're his, we're always his. You can't not be his. You may never have begun to be his, but you can't not be his. Because it's his work. Philippians 1:6, he began, he continues, well, who completes? That's a picture of our justification, sanctification, and glorification. He began the work, justification, he continues the work in our lives, sanctification, he brings us to glory, it's him. It has to be. We rely too much on this world, and we look to the world, and, you know, what about this? What about that? Oh, there's an earthquake every day now. You know what that means? We're in the end times. We've been in the end times for 2,000 years. Join the party. Glad you caught up. Listen, you know when the Lord's coming back? When the Lord comes back. That's as simple as it gets. We're closer today than yesterday. Amen? Hey, there we are. But I hope he doesn't. I hope he tarries. I hope he tarries another 50 years. I know. I really do. I'll tell you why. Because when I see like what God did last Sunday and the people that were baptized and their excitement and knowing what they were doing and embracing it and just seeking the Lord and knowing that God saved their wretched soul, not because we do all the, oh, raise your hand, you know, say this, but no, somehow, some way, they just kept showing up and then God saved their soul and transformed their life. I'm not going to see that in heaven. And I'm not done seeing it here. And I'm not tired of it. And I'll never get tired of it. And I want to see God continue to do it. Okay. I'll read and then I'll go back. Starting in verse 44, we're in chapter 13, Matthew's gospel. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field, which a man found and hid again. And from joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys the field. Verse 45, again, the kingdom of heaven is like. It's like a merchant seeking fine pearls. And upon finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and he bought it. Verse 47, again, the kingdom of heaven is like. Now, this doesn't seem like the other two. So, you know, but it says the kingdom of heaven is like. It's like a dragged cast into the sea, which is a net, and gathers fish of every kind. And when it was filled, they drew it up on the beach, and they sat down and gathered the good fish into containers, but the bad they threw away. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come forth and take out the wicked from among the righteous. That's the wheat and the tares. Same thing, good fish, bad fish, goats and sheep. Verse 50, and will throw them into the furnace of fire. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Not a pretty place. Verse 51, have you understood all these things? And they said to him, yes. Some people said, I wish he would have said no, so he would have explained all the others, but he doesn't. They said yes, but they don't explain it either. And it says, and Jesus said to them, therefore, every scribe who has become a disciple of the kingdom of heaven is like a head of a household who brings out of his treasure things new and old. The kingdom of heaven is like, it's like a treasure. And if we want to see the treasure, if you want to see it as Christ, listen, it's always Christ. Everything is Christ. It all points to him. It all originated with him. It all comes forth from him. And so is he the treasure that we can look to? Absolutely. But it says that we see the treasure and then we hide it. And I couldn't help but see in Colossians 3:3 how our lives are hid with Christ in God. I'm not hiding the gospel. I'm hiding Christ. Where am I hiding him? He's in my heart. You can't see him. I could tell you all about him, and you still can't see him. Unless you're a believer and you can see, you know, the light that I may have, but nobody could see him. We hide him, but not to hide him from the world, but to hide him for ourselves. For ourselves. 2 Corinthians 4:7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessel. That's you. We're all earthen vessels. Where's the treasure? So that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves. That's Christ. That's, you can't miss that. That's Jesus. The point in the parable is the exceeding value of the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven has no value if Jesus isn't the center of it. If it's not all about him, where is the value? How valuable are you? Well, we look at, you know, whatever the portfolio is, I don't know what that means. But whatever your thing is, how much money you got in the bank, what do you got in your pocket? I mean, that's not your value. How many assets do I have? That's not your value. Where is your value? I can tell you my value is with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. I was worth every drop of it. Every drop. The very heart of the kingdom is Jesus. There's no kingdom without a king. So we need a king. We know who the king is. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. In Matthew 6:21, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. If your heart's in the Lord, and he's in your heart. Again, I in you, you in me. That's your treasure. I have a treasure in me. Jesus is to be highly esteemed over the price of the whole earth. The thing is, when you get closer to the Lord, as you start growing in the Lord, when Christ is truly your Lord, the world, the things of the world don't matter. What does it value? I'm not a gold guy. I don't own gold. This is my gold around my finger, and I cherish that. But I don't, it doesn't move me. Well, the streets in heaven will be of gold. That's okay. That's okay. They'll be crystal clear. So, I mean, it'll be polished gold. But it doesn't move me. Jewelry doesn't do anything for me. Jewels does. Money doesn't really. I don't care. God provides. Amen. And the closer I get to the less it means. That's selling it all, in a sense, and just trusting God for it. It's established that the field is the world. It's the world. Christ came. And we'll see later on how Jesus came. But even his own people, when he goes back to Nazareth, they weren't looking. They were familiar with him. Jesus came. He was born in Bethlehem. Nobody even paid attention to it. Nobody. How obscure was that? It was almost like he was hidden there. Where? In the world. Jesus is in the world now. And who's seeking him? Who's following him? Who's trusting in him? Not enough. The Lord Jesus Christ came down as a treasure from heaven, and he is hidden. He's hidden. Listen, the one who finds him recognizes the worthlessness of this world. Everything counted as loss. Paul put it this way, Philippians 3:8, he says, I count all things but loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ. What an awesome picture of that parable. Listen, when man says, I found it, you know, I found God. You've heard that before. I found God. Like, listen, God wasn't hiding. Okay? Newsflash. Listen, but God turns around and says, I revealed it. He finds it because God is gracious and God reveals it. In Luke 19, what is seeking the Lord? The answer is seeking the Lord is responding to him seeking you. That's seeking the Lord. Again, the two parables speak of how highly the king values. He values the kingdom. Because you're in it. Because you're in it. You make the value. The Lord is walking among us this morning, and he's looking at each one of you and looking at your hearts, and he's saying how valuable you are to him. No, he's valuable to us. But it's the church too. It's the church. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in the field, which man found and hid again. And for the joy over it. Remember Hebrews 5, for the joy set before me, Jesus. He goes and sells all that he has and buys the field. The Lord died for the sins of the world. He bought the field. He bought the whole field so he can have the few. The treasure is his people. So did Jesus himself at the utmost cost buy the world to gain his church, which was treasured, which he desired. Purpose of the parable is to reveal some men will find the kingdom of heaven without even consciously looking for it. Because God meets them there. 2 Corinthians 8, 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. You see, back in the day, they didn't have the credit unions. They didn't have banks. And so you didn't want to hide it in your house because robbers, I love that term in the Bible, the robber might come in. They had the mask on. But somebody may come in and rob. So they would literally take their treasure and hide it in a field. And they would bury it. And they would put it in a box, some kind of safe place, and they would put it in the field. Apparently, this man or person may have died. Somebody had the field. They were tending to it. They seen it. And they thought, the only way to keep this is I have to buy the field. That was what the law said. And the law said, if you buy the field, whatever's in the field, whatever's buried in the dirt, it's yours. And so the Lord looked down and he saw this precious church that he wanted to form, that he wanted to draw unto himself. And he bought the whole thing. He bought the whole thing. Listen to Philippians 2, 7 and 8. It says, he emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men, being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross, in order to purchase the treasure. To purchase the treasure. Christ is my treasure. He's what matters in life. But I'm his treasure. He looks at me and he... I love in Song of Solomon where it says, when I'm in his presence, his heart beats faster. Just a picture of love and how much he cares about us. How he just poured himself out for us. Look at the pearl. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking fine pearls. Upon finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and he bought it. Looks like the pearl's the church. It's got great value. Oh, not in and of itself. It's got great, great value because of who purchased it. Jesus renounced all that he might purchase for himself the church, his bride. He's the merchant. We are the pearl. Unlike most other gems, the pearl is a unity. I like this. John 17, 23 says, I in them and you in me, that they may be perfected in unity. Unity because it can't be carved like a diamond or an emerald. A pearl, church, is the product of suffering. the pearl in its formation occurs because of an irritation in the tender side of an oyster. It's sand, it's dirt, it's earth. And it finds its way in the oyster, and the oyster works it because the oyster is alive and it's bringing life to it in a sense. And it becomes so smooth and it becomes this pearl, and there's unity in it. You can't break it. They don't chop it up. Ivory, oh, they can chop all that up. Diamonds, they just make a big diamond smaller. The pearl, they don't. There is a sense in which the church was formed out of the wounds of Christ and have been made possible by his death and sacrifice. Fox's Book of Martyrs says that the blood of the martyrs was the seed of the church. There were prices that people paid. The merchants, Jesus died for the church, Ephesians 5:25. And his suffering on the cross was possible through his birth. He paid for us. He emptied himself of his glory, came to earth in the form of man, shed his precious blood on the cross, and paid the penalty for sin. That shows how valuable the pearl is. First Corinthians 6:20, for you have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. It's not yours. It's not yours. So next time you find that pimple, go, Lord, you got a pimple on your face. I can't believe. It's God. We're no longer us. It's no longer I, but Christ. Pearl of great price. Pearl of great value. Jesus sold it all. Incarnation. Became man. I still can't wrap my head around that. That he still has that body in heaven. But can't we see the pearl as Jesus? Isn't he the one who's priceless? Really? He's the one that sacrificed. Listen, the two parables go hand in hand. The first, he's the treasure. And I give everything to him. He has it all. And the second, you're the treasure. And he gives everything for you. He holds back nothing. Neither should we. The kingdom of heaven is like, it's like this, Jesus. The kingdom of heaven is Jesus. And my Yeshua, I'm his treasure. He sees me and he sees a pearl. Don't it didn't come easily. He had to work at it. He had to grind me a little bit, work me in, work me out, work me in and out again. And what won't he do for you? What won't he do for you? Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet cast into the sea and gathered fish of every kind. At the end of time, the separation will occur when Jesus returns and establishes his kingdom on earth. The wheats and the tares are growing together. The goats and the sheep are raised in the same field. They're growing together. We have to use terms like true believers. I don't know everybody that's born again and everybody that's not. I know some that are, that my spirit unites with, but not everybody. I don't know. I pray you're not part of the bad fish. The kingdom of heaven, it's like the Lord threw out the net. And he's just waiting for that last fish, for them fishes, all the good fish, the good fishy. He's waiting for them to enter into that net. And when he pulls it up, it's the end. It's the end. I wish the bad fish were just annihilated. They're not. They're not. We're all living forever. There's only two choices. There's only two places. There's only two groups of people. Only two genders. Just saying. There's only two. There's just two. Either a believer or a non-believer. You're either a child of God or you're not. And you will live forever in the kingdom of heaven. Or the kingdom of earth, which is better known as hell. Then the Lord, he says in verse 51, "Have you understood these things?" They said to him, "Yes." Jesus said to them, "Therefore, every scribe who has become a disciple of the kingdom of heaven is like a head of a household who brings out his treasured things, new and old." I don't know if the disciples totally got it, or they just were like, "Yeah, Lord, we get it." And they just didn't want to ask another question like, "Can you explain it again?" I like that movie. I don't remember the name of it, but I think it was Denzel Washington. He said, "Speak to me like I'm a five-year-old." Sometimes I feel like that. Building a wall with Keith, I want to say, "Speak to me like I'm a five-year-old. I know nothing about this." You know? We're the scribes. Listen, you're the scribes. That's what Jesus is saying. You're the students. We're the ones who sit at his feet. That's why you're here. We receive objective teaching when we come to the Word of God in the church. You can read ahead, but you don't know where I'm going to go because I don't know where I'm going to go. I'll find out before you, but that's okay. It's the way it's supposed to be. One of the joy of the Christian life is the privilege of learning God's truth from God's word. Seeing Jesus in his word. But it doesn't end there. We need to see him in each other. We need to see him in the things of the world. We need to see him all the time. That's how we grow. That's how we mature. But it's Christ. It's Christ. The kingdom of heaven, it's like this. Jesus. It's Jesus. Because without him, where's the kingdom? Without him, where's the joy? Without him, where's the purpose? What are we doing? Just living life. Hanging in there. You know, I love that. How you doing? I'm hanging in there. I go, well, you're hanging in a good place anyway. You know, I just see people like this, like, you know, like, I'm hanging in there. You know, it's like everybody carrying their cross. You know, it's like the Lord said, give your burdens to him. Give them to him. Why are you carrying such a hard piece of apparatus here? Give it to him. I told you, I carry burdens. I carry them right to the cross. And then I leave them there. At least I think I leave them there. Sometimes I want to leave them there and stays in my head. But I do. I purpose to leave it there. God can do more with nothing than I could ever do with everything. I'll close with this. We understand, they teach the same lesson. They teach the same lesson. The kingdom of heaven, it's of immeasurable value. You cannot put a value on it. You know, they talk about the Vatican and they say, you can't put a value on it. The marble, the gold, and everything that's in that Vatican City, you can't put a price on it. You are worth a gazillion times more than that. You can't put a price on that. Nothing we have or own can compare. For Jesus, it was worth his life, his blood. So next time we want to put a value on the kingdom or on our own lives, don't do it without looking to Jesus and realize he gave it all. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray.
Lord, who are we that you would ever even be mindful of us? Yet you saw us as precious, each one. You knew us before the foundation of the world. And each one of us, you drew and had us walk along the path that we would come and know you. We would never find you apart from your drawing power. We would never look to you unless you attracted attention to yourself and caused us to look up and see you high and lifted up. Holy God, friend of sinners, God, we thank you that you are the true treasure, the great pearl, but yet you look at us likewise as precious. We can't begin to fathom it, lest your spirit quickens our spirit, causes us to be as one, that we may see the value that you have placed on each one of us. And Jesus, that you shed your blood, you gave up your life for each one of your own. God, may we walk in response of gratefulness to all that you continue to do in our lives, continuing to reveal your unfailing love. We give you thanks and praise in Christ's name. Amen.